You all have provided a great intro to the sermon this morning, just sharing for the prayer time. We recognize and we kind of feel with one another just the weight that we're going through and some of the fears and the sadness that we're experiencing, some of that we're feeling for other people around us. And the sermon this morning is really, the text is a Christmas song. What's your favorite Christmas song? Some people, if you ask that question to, they don't have a favorite Christmas song. They don't like singing Christmas songs. Christmas songs turn them off. They're turned off by the false ideologies behind them. They're turned off by the emotions that they don't actually feel in their lives. Some people don't have a fire to roast chestnuts over. Some people indeed have a blue Christmas. Some people are simply not having a wonderful Christmas time. Wherever you're at, however you feel about Christmas songs, we come to an amazing Christmas song, maybe one of the first Christmas songs, actually, in the Gospel of Luke this morning. And I propose that it's an amazing song, and it's a song that anybody can sing, and it's a song that you and I can sing to one another and to those in need around us, even as the season might be hard for some. It was sung by Mary, of all people. It was sung by the mother of our Savior. And even that is an amazing testament to what the song implies and who is singing it and the hope that it carries within its words. So I have this text of the song there, but I'm going to read a little bit beforehand just to give some context. This is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, starting in verse 39. Just up until now, the angel Gabriel has announced to Mary that she will be with child. Just before that, she announced to Elizabeth that she would be with child. Our friend John the Baptist, who would prepare the way of the Lord. We hear about Zechariah, her husband, being told this news. And similar to some of the stories in the Old Testament, being elderly or barren, how could this be? Last week we remembered that indeed miracles happen. Nothing is impossible with God. And so too, even with a virgin. So this is about 6 months after Elizabeth conceived and was with child. Verse 39, in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And after this, Mary responds. And Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abram, and to his offspring forever." And then Luke continues the narrative and just says, "And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home." So how's that for a Christmas song? Mary, the mother of Jesus. In this story, we have the amazing faith of this virgin who believes what the angel told her. This is well known. This song is well known as the Magnificat, which is just the Latin word for the first word in the song here. Magnify. My soul magnifies the Lord. This whole song, and it's a song because it's like a poem. It's like a Hebrew psalm in its content and its structure. It was obviously a song that she sang and rejoiced in her response to Elizabeth's blessing. What does it mean to magnify the Lord? I almost had us replace, we will glorify the King. I almost had us replace the word glorify with magnify. To magnify something means to proclaim it, to focus on it, to worship it, to bless it, to exalt it, to lift it up. It's one of those words that we should have in our vocabulary as Christians. We magnify God. We magnify His name. It's almost like having a magnifying lens, except He's not something so small that we can hover over. As my theology professor in seminary once told me, God is not something that we can put on a microscope and analyze. Rather, we ought to let Him put us on the microscope or under the telescope, and He examines us. Yet still, we can magnify God. We can take a magnifying lens and let His light shine and burn through, exposing brokenness and sin around us, exposing truth and goodness, letting our lives be guided by His light. We worship Him and point all glory and all honor to Him. And even in this Christmas season, whether it's good or bad for you, we can remember the hope that we have in Him. We can magnify God's name as we wait for His coming. And think about who sang this song, Mary, of all people. It's pretty amazing that we all know who Mary is, if you actually think about it. This was just a teenage girl from a backwater town in the area. Had no standing, she would have had no reputation. She would have had no Facebook friends, just anybody, any one person. And now we have a whole sect of the church that even prays to her. Yeah, her name is blessed, all right. Her faith is an amazing example for all of us. I mean, I'm not saying that we should be praying to Mary or anything, but We can revere her and look to her as an example. The mother of our Lord. The one who was humble. Who was humble not only in her situation or in her social status, but also humble in her attitude towards God. Why does Mary magnify the Lord? Why does Mary rejoice in God? Why does Mary call Him His Savior, after this little greeting and incident? She gives many reasons, but a few that stand out to me. God is mindful of the lowly. She says in verse 48, for He has looked upon the humble estate of His servant. She's speaking of herself there, but then later, verse 52, He has exalted those of humble estate. God is mindful of the humble. He's mindful of those who need. Those who are in need, God doesn't forget. God doesn't neglect them. He is mindful of them. Those who are oppressed, those who are not rich, those who are not proud in their own eyes, those who are humble towards God, God is mindful and aware. He looks upon us. Mary magnifies God because he is mindful of her. He is mindful of the oppressed. He is mindful of those of humble estate. He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me. There's actually another translation of the Bible where it says, He has done great things for me. It replaces that with, He has magnified me. It's almost like God has magnified or lifted up or exalted this humble servant. God has lifted up, therefore she can exalt and lift up. God has exalted and lifted up the lowly. Therefore, the lowly can exalt and lift up God. Jesus, when he's older and doing his ministry and speaking to crowds and to disciples, he speaks of how the humble will be exalted, and yet the proud will be humbled. We talk about the kingdom of God. It's something that we wait for and we remember at this time, and how upside down it is. Or maybe how upside down we are and our world is, right? But really, in the kingdom of God, it's a place where there's no status. There's no rich and poor. Everyone is dignified. Everyone is equal. Everyone is in God. There's no upper class. There's no power over others. Everyone is working together in harmony, flourishing. Another text that we might read next week for Advent, Isaiah, the prophet, speaks of even the animals, how the lion and the lamb will dwell together. That's amazing. Mary magnifies God because he is mindful of the poor and the oppressed and the humble. And not only that, he is also merciful to us. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And then even at the end, she points to, as a good Jewish woman would do, as a good Jewish person would do, they point to the history of God's mercy and faithfulness. Verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. God's mercy is a mark of his covenant loyalty. It's who he is. It's what he does. And just as Mary was a Jewish woman, she would have known that. And that would have been a very prominent thing in their house and in their religion and in their life and in their worldview. Remembering the traditions of their fathers, remembering God's mercy throughout the ages to his people Israel. Think about the many ways God has been merciful and mindful of those of low estate. Wasn't Israel like one of the smallest nations? Why did he choose them? Why did he deliver them from oppression and slavery? Why did he scatter the enemies all the while they ventured on to the promised land? Why did he part a sea and lead them across? Why did he raise up a young lad named David to defeat a giant? Verse 51, it says, he has shown strength with his arm. A lot of times in Hebrew scripture, the idea of God's arm, it's like his movement, his action. It's kind of like his means of doing what he does. It's often associated with God's work in the world. And it's always really closely linked to message of salvation. God, what does God do? He saves. He provides salvation. He gives righteousness and justice to those who fear him from generation to generation. But as is also another theme throughout the Old Testament, there's judgment with salvation. And a good way to think of that is right here in 51, he says, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. One way that God magnifies or lifts up the lowly is that he puts down the proud and the haughty. He scatters them. It's pretty interesting. If you read through the Old Testament, there's these language of scattering, gathering and scattering. God gathering together his people, God gathering even as the church, we are a gathered people. And there's blessing in our fellowship and in the presence that we have with God. And then this idea of being scattered. Think of the Tower of Babel. I don't know what that would have looked like, but it says that God scatters the people to all the nations of the world. it's almost like, I just can't imagine, but God scatters people. People are scattered, they're left on their own. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Even the proud person is scattered in their own thoughts. There's confusion, there's selfishness, there's being turned in on oneself. That's kind of the language of judgment in the Old Testament. It's a warning too. How do we think of it? Do we see ourselves turning in on ourselves, being selfish, being proud, having no need for God? Are we comfortable? Are we rich? Who are we worshiping? Are we scattering ourselves? Or are we like Mary, humble towards God in our attitude? Are we humble in our outlook? Do we see our need for God? This Christmas time, it's a good reminder, as it always is, but especially now, that we are needy people. And that's why Christmas can be such an amazing time, because we remember how God has lifted us up, how God has been mindful of us. And to be sure, this isn't just something to spiritualize. From political relationships to social standing, God is mindful of the down and the downtrodden, the oppressed, and that is something that we should be aware of too this season. How can God work through us and in us to be a blessing to the humble, to those of low estate, even those who don't have some of the luxuries that we have? How can we help people celebrate this season? But to be sure, this also is a spiritual truth. We were sinners, we were broken, we are needy. We are needy, and God is mindful of us, and God is merciful to us. In a sense, He magnifies humanity by sending His Son to be a baby, sending His Son to be our example, to be our Savior, to be the light that we need, the light and the life that He gives to us. And this is all connected because as He spoke to our fathers, Mary says, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. We go back to Elizabeth's little song, if you will. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Mary believed what the angel told her. Mary connected it all. Mary had this grace and this faith. She saw it all and she believed. She didn't have it all figured out, but she had a humble attitude towards God and she praises God. So this is a song that we can sing this Christmas. God magnifies the lowly. We can magnify Him. This is a song you can sing this Christmas. God is mindful of you, and He's merciful towards you. Let us magnify His name. This is a song you can share with somebody this Christmas. God is mindful of the oppressed and the downtrodden and those who are in need. God is mindful and merciful. We can sing this song to ourselves and to one another. Or as Band-Aid 30 says, we can heal the world. We can let them know that it's Christmas time again. Amen.